Our Father, who art in heaven, again we draw nigh unto thee, because thou art the only one who can guide us into truth. Thou art Lord God, and we pray that thy Holy Spirit might indeed lead us into truth as we continue to search out thy word. Father, we praise thee for what a wonderful Savior, what a wonderful God, what a wonderful Creator thou art. Thou art omnipotent, thou art all-knowing, thou art everywhere present. Thou art infinitely holy and just and righteous and pure. O Father, we truly praise thee for who thou art. Bless us now as we continue our study in these areas of the future. Father, could it be that thou wilt open our spiritual eyes that we might truly see where truth is? Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In our study of Mark 13, we have come to verse 28, and Jesus, in the midst of discussing his return, declares in verse 28, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that he is nigh at the doors." That statement is almost identical to that which we find in Matthew 24. However, as I indicated at the close of our last study, in the Gospel of Luke, Christ, in the same place as he's talking about his coming and the fact that Christ is going to come on the clouds of glory, he there declares, "And he spake to them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees." That's a different, something added, you see. In fact, there are two things that have been added already. He's saying, "Behold the fig tree," which would be the equivalent of "see, look at the fig tree." In Mark 13, you remember it says in verse 28, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree when her branch is yet tender." He's not asking them to look at the fig tree. Neither in Mark nor in Matthew is Jesus saying, "Behold the fig tree." He is simply saying, "When the fig tree begins to come in leaf." But in Luke's gospel, he's saying, "Behold the fig tree. Look at the fig tree. See the fig tree right now, if you will. And all the trees." He wants them to look at not only the fig tree, but all the trees. "When they now shoot forth." Now that's different language. "When they now." Jesus is speaking to the disciples, when the fig tree and the trees now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Now that again is a very different statement than what we find in Mark 13 or Matthew 24. Because in Mark 13, for example, in verse 29, it says, "So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it," or "he," it would be more proper, "know that he is nigh at the doors." Know that he is nigh at the doors. That's something quite different from, "Know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." Well, we wonder, why do we have these differences? Now, when we look at this language very, very carefully, we will discover that Luke 21 is talking about what is to be expected of the gospel beginning with the cross and with Pentecost, whereas Mark 13 and Matthew 24 is talking about what can be expected at the end of time. Christ actually has two different truths in view. Let's look, first of all, at Luke 21. "He spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree." Now, you will recall in our earlier studies a couple of different times, I've emphasized that the fig tree in the Bible is a representation of national Israel. Well, what are all the trees? Well, back in Ezekiel 31, verse 3, for example, And there are other examples of this. I will only give you this one example. But in Ezekiel 31, verse 3, God is speaking about the nation of Assyria. And he says in verse 3 of Ezekiel 31, "Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud, and of an high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs." All right, here God is equating the nation of Assyria with a cedar tree. God frequently uses the figure of a tree, either in talking about individuals or in talking about nations. Now, because the fig tree in Luke 21 is speaking of the nation of Israel, we would suspect, therefore, that the trees and all the trees is a symbol or a type or representation of all the nations of the world. And so in verse 29, Jesus of Luke 22, or of Luke 21 rather, Jesus is saying simply, "Look at the nation of Israel and look at all the other nations." That's effectively what he is saying. What does he say in verse 30? "When they now shoot forth." Well, now, when a literal tree begins to shoot forth, it means that it begins to bud. The branches begin to grow. The leaves begin to get larger. And pretty soon, hopefully, there might be fruit on that tree. Now he's talking about the nations, when they shoot forth like a fig tree or like other trees. Now, what does that mean spiritually, that the nations would shoot forth? Well, back in Isaiah 32, verse 15, God gives us a clue, and this again is one clue amongst others, but this is one that speaks particularly to this. In Isaiah 32, verse 15, God is talking about the time when the gospel would go out into all the world. That is, the time when God the Holy Spirit would come on the scene to evangelize the world. And in that context, he says in Isaiah 32, 15, "Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high." When was the Spirit poured out? At Pentecost, back in A.D. 33, right after the time of the cross, God began his program to evangelize the world by pouring out the Holy Spirit. And so this is what is being talked about in Isaiah 32:15, "Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest." God is using the figure of the fields bringing forth new life so that they become a forest. A forest, of course, consists of many, many trees. And so when the tree begins to shoot forth, it means that there is life there. There is the development of other trees. There is a fruitful situation that is developing. Now, going back to Luke 22, now we can see what Christ is saying. When you see the nation shoot forth, that is, when you begin to see them become spiritually fruitful, when you see the impact of the gospel upon these nations and upon the nation of Israel, remember he said, "Behold the fig tree, see the fig tree and the other trees and all the trees." When you see Israel become spiritually fruitful, when you see the nations become spiritually fruitful, then what will happen? Verse 31, "Know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." When the Holy Spirit was poured out, did Israel become spiritually fruitful? Yes, they did. Yes, they did become spiritually fruitful. In fact, they had already begun to become spiritually fruitful just under the preaching of Jesus, although this was on a very minimal level. But when Pentecost rolled around and Peter is preaching, on Pentecost afternoon. 3,000 are saved, both Jews and proselytes. Jews are very definitely indicated, and as well as people from 18 different nations. The nations begin to shoot forth. Later on in the book of Acts, we read that many of the priests believed. The priests were the rulers, the spiritual rulers in the nation of Israel. Oh, yes, it was never a majority of the people. It was only a remnant chosen by grace, but nevertheless, as compared the way it was before Jesus came on the scene and before the Holy Spirit was poured out, indeed, Israel did become very fruitful. As a matter of fact, it was the nation of Israel that sent forth the first missionaries into all the world in the person of the apostles and the others like Barnabas and Silas. They were Jews. They came out of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was shooting forth. And from there, the other nations began to shoot forth. Today, the United States, as a tree, is shooting forth. It is sending forth the gospel also. Now, we are very, very sure that this is talking about the first sending forth of the gospel, because of the phrase in verse 31 of Luke 21, where Christ declares, "Know ye, when you, these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." Now, when John the Baptist came on the scene, you can read this, for example, in Matthew 3, verse 2, he said, "Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand." Christ came to establish his kingdom. He is the king, and the nations are about to shoot forth with the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Christ came as the Messiah to build his kingdom. Obviously, it is not a political kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom, as we saw so frequently as we've gone through the Gospel of Mark. And so these three verses of Luke 21 are speaking about the sending forth of the gospel. When the disciples would see the nations begin to become interested in the true gospel, Jesus is simply saying that they would know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Christ is building his kingdom. The gates of hell shall not prevail, but Christ would build his church. And the New Testament church is intimately associated with, in part, integral with the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. You remember Colossians 1:13, where God declares that when we have become saved, we have been translated from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And you'll remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus: we cannot enter that kingdom unless we are born of water and the Spirit. So, in this statement, Jesus is not referring to the end of time, even though in the immediate context, he has been speaking about the end of time. Rather, he is taking a departure for just a moment. We saw this also in Mark 13, where some of the verses definitely related to the sending forth of the gospel rather than the end of time, and only by examining each verse very carefully on its own merits, in the light of everything else the Bible teaches, can we know whether verses are speaking of the first coming of Christ or the second coming of Christ. Of course, in Luke 21, as Jesus has been speaking to them, you remember when he looked at, when he spoke in verses 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, down through verse 19, he was speaking about the whole New Testament period. They will lay hands on you and persecute you, and you will be betrayed by your parents and brethren, and you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. That is characteristic for the whole New Testament period as the gospel goes forth. Then in verse 20, through verse 28, Jesus spoke only of the end of time until we get to verse 29, and then again he is referring back to what they can expect as they and how the gospel is going forth as beginning with them, beginning in their day. They will be able to see the fig tree. And then in verse 32 of Luke 21, well, we'll wait with verse 32. We'll come back to that a little bit later when we look at the companion verse in Mark and in Matthew. Let's go back now to Mark 13 and see once what that particular fig tree might be and what kind of sign is there. Back in Mark 13, verse 28, we read, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch," and God is not talking about all the trees, just the fig tree. He's not telling the disciples that they can see the fig tree that he has in view, because we're going to discover from the context that this is talking about the fig tree right at the end of time. "When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass," and the things that he's talking about are all of the, he's not talking about the fig tree shooting forth. He's not talking about the other tree shooting forth. He's saying these things, and that would have to refer to the things that Jesus has just been talking about, namely the final tribulation period as it leads up till Judgment Day. When you see these things come to pass, I'm sorry, I said that incorrectly. These things would refer to the fact that the fig tree is in leaf. The fig tree is in leaf, not that it's shooting forth like the language that he uses in Luke 21. But the fig tree is simply in leaf. It's putting forth leaves. "Ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that he is nigh at the doors." Now we have to decide, what about this fig tree? Who is the fig tree? What does it mean that it's putting forth leaves? And why did Jesus use different language here than in Luke 21, where he talks about the fig tree and all the trees shooting forth? He does not talk there about leaves. Well, you see, in Luke 21, as Jesus is talking about the fig tree shooting forth, it means it's in a sense that there is going to be fruit bearing. There is going to be the wilderness is going to turn into a forest. There's going to be growth. There is going to be the development of the gospel in the world. But when he talks about the fig tree in Mark 13, he is talking about the nation of Israel as a nation with leaves, but without fruit. This ties back to Mark 13. Remember in Mark 11. Remember in Mark 11, Jesus is hungry and he sees the fig tree and he goes looking for fruit because the tree has leaves. But there is no fruit because it's not the season for fruit. But God does emphasize it does have leaves. And then remember Jesus said of the fig tree, "May you never bear fruit." In other words, the fig tree will never bear fruit again. Well now, remember the fig tree was a picture of national Israel. And here Jesus effectively is saying, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch, that is, when national Israel, again begins to put forth leaves. Remember the fig tree of Mark 11. It had leaves. Jesus isn't talking about fruit. He's not saying that national Israel will bear fruit any more than it was bearing fruit in Mark 11. He is simply saying, when you see national Israel put forth leaves, that is, in Mark 11, when the fig tree is pictured there as having leaves, it was an illustration of national Israel of that day that looked like a fruit-bearing nation. It looked like a nation amongst the nations of the world. But there was no fruit. The fruit would have to do with the gospel. The fruit would have to do with a turning to Christ as Messiah in a very positive and definite way. And Jesus said that would never happen. Oh yes, they did shoot forth in the sense that the gospel flowed from national Israel so that the first missionaries came from national Israel, but as a nation they did not turn to Christ. And here in Mark 13, as well as in Matthew 24, Jesus is saying that one of the signs of the end, that Christ is very near at the very doors, is that you're going to see the fig tree Israel again bearing leaves, so that it will appear again as it did in the days of Jesus. There will not be fruit. We know that is not to be expected. It's not intimated in Mark 13, nor is it possible because of what Christ declared in Mark 11, where he says, "May you never bear fruit." But he's saying it will bear leaves. That is, again you will see Israel amongst the nations of the world looking like they are an independent nation amongst the nations of the world. Now this is a remarkable prophecy. An absolutely remarkable prophecy that could never have been understood adequately until our time. I'm really convinced that all of the theologians throughout the New Testament period, as they read this verse and speculated as to what this could mean, did not have the slightest idea how this ever could come to pass. If they had any inkling, if they arrived at the conclusion, and many may have, that the fig tree represented national Israel, they would read this and shake their heads and say, "Well, how can this be? National Israel has not been a nation for almost 2,000 years, ever since they were destroyed by the Roman Titus in AD 70. Never again did they get close to becoming a nation. And yet, miracle of miracles, in 1948, right in our generation, in our time, the nation of Israel again was constituted as a nation amongst nations. And they have stood this way now for more than three decades. Here, God is predicting what would happen in the future. And in our lifetime, we see this prophecy come to actual fulfillment. When ye see the fig tree begin to send forth leaves, and we are seeing the fig tree bringing forth leaves. It is a nation amongst the nations of the world. How remarkable God is in being faithful to His prophecies. And do we see the fig tree, the national Israel of today, bearing fruit? No, they are still, as the nation of Israel, as a nation, still reject the Messiah fully as severely, as stridently, as definitely as they ever have in all of their history. And based on everything I can read in the Bible, there's no possibility that they will turn to Christ as Messiah. Oh yes, don't forget the remnant chosen by grace. They are always present. God anticipated that there would be a trickle of believers coming out of national Israel, and I always thrill when I meet someone who is a blood descendant of Abraham, and I know that they have become a child of God. I thrill because I recognize God has been faithful to His promises that there would be a remnant chosen by grace out of national Israel. But as a nation, they still remain in unbelief, although they are a tree with leaves. They are a fig tree with leaves. Now, what is the dynamic of this sign? It's one thing that this sign is spoken of, and we in our generation see this sign. In our lifetime, we are viewing this sign. But what is the significance of this sign? And it is of great significance. because Jesus said, know that when you see these things come to pass, that is when you see the fig tree in leaf, and that's what we see as we look at national Israel today, know that He, that is Christ, the Messiah, is nigh at the doors. That is, Jesus is about ready to come again. We are right at the end of time. This is one of the most dynamic signs that is available today that make us know that we are very near the end of time. The fig tree is in leaf again. I know that many people look at national Israel back in their land and they say, oh, now they are about on the threshold of turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God is going to begin His program with the nation of Israel, so that they as a whole nation will become believers. They don't realize what they're doing, but effectively they're saying that God has at least three different salvation programs. They say, and this is commonly taught in amongst those, for example, who hold a premillennial view. And again, I don't say this to despise these who hold this view or to look down upon them. I say this very factually so that we can understand that if we are holding these views, that we must turn away from this. We must begin to re-examine the Scripture, so we want to be as accurate as possible. In this particular kind of teaching, effectively, they're saying that in the Old Testament, if Israel was saved, they were saved by the law. That was one dispensation. Oh my, our time has run out. I'd like to say a word or two more about this. And then we're going to look at the next question, where it says, verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. What generation is this that God has in view? Until then, may the Lord richly bless you.